Welcome to Roundtable Sports. I'm Anthony Martorelli, coming to you live from Austin, Texas. I'm here with my pops, Andrew Martorelli, coming to you live from New York, New York. Happy Father's Day, pops.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks. How you doing this week? Good?
I'm doing well. Not feeling so hot, but we're here anyway.
Yeah, no, it's a great day for it. So, hey, I wanted you to get into the Yankees a little bit, because that seems to be the best, the best thing going on right about now.
I know you're real excited
because they're really playing well. I mean, they're coming off a little bit of a stretch with a little downtime, but they're making moves and they're doing what they got to do. And, good organization, So,
I think the move that they made yesterday, going out and getting Edward Encarnacion for a player that we actually got from Seattle 2 years ago, the cash strikes again. I think it's going to be huge, man. And I think, it gives us the ability now to, we can go and move Frazier for a top flight pitcher. We were talking about this earlier in the week, the possibility of either Scherzer or Bumgarner out in San Francisco. Now, I don't know. I think I lean a little more towards Bumgarner in that sense, just because I think the price would be a little bit less. Yankees did send down Frazier today as well.
Oh, they did. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know what? He's a very good ball player, and I think they got to give him his at bats. And I think they got a lot going on, and they have to. We talked about it earlier. They have to make a move for a top. They have not had a top flight pitcher in a couple of years, and they really need one. We've seen over the time last year and the year before, not having that guy in a run, it hurts. And they got the lineup, and they got every. We talked about it a couple of days ago. I said it to you. They got all the pieces. It's the one piece that they're missing. And in nowadays game, with these top teams, the Astros, to compete, they got everything. The Astros, the Cubs, the Dodgers, they got all the pieces of the puzzle. And the Yankees need that piece. And it's the only way. It's the only way for them to do it. I mean, and they got the players to go out and do it, we talked about the lineup and stuff, and I'll let you go over. Give me that rundown of that lineup. That's a monster.
Coming out of the gate, you can either bat. I think they'll go with LeMahieu leadoff, who's a three-time batting champion. But, they do have the option to go Torres. If it was my lineup, I would go LeMahieu one, Torres second. I would bat Judge third, Stanton fourth, Sanchez fifth, Edwin Encarnacion seventh, Luke Voit eighth, and then I would go Hicks in the nine hole. Now, the reason I would do that is
did you just hear what you just said?
Yeah, no, it's the reason behind it.
Is there not? There's not a hole in that lineup.
Not in the spot. And the amazing thing about it is they've lacked for a long. I think since Jeter has left, the guys that can not only hit for the power but get on base. And we have that now with, LeMahieu or Hicks gets on base well.
Yeah, for sure. No, they got a bunch of guys in there. You're not pitching through that lineup easily, And if they got a pitcher that could be shut down for a little bit, even though we talked about no pitcher in this era, right now, this year, with the ball and the way it is and stuff, not being able to really, pitch well. Not pitch well. I don't want to say pitch well. I want to say, there's the balls are flying out. So, basically, you can't expect a guy to
keep a team under three
to
runs.
To not get hit. All right. But yeah. three runs is a great game right now.
Exactly.
Three runs is like a shutout. If you want to say the truth, it's just the way it is.
And, what interests me going forward with the Yankees is, I didn't even mention Didi in that whole situation.
Right.
they do have these guys, but like I said, the interesting part is going to be what Boone does with this center of the lineup now, because I do believe he has four guys that, you know, I don't want to put the comparison to Murderous Row back in the day, but, you know, it does kind of ring the same bell of you have to go through Stanton, Judge, Sanchez, who is now back to being his form, probably, you know, he's probably the best pure hitter on the Yankees, in my opinion. And now you add the lefty power to it in Edwin.
I mean, you know, you're right about that. And I was really down on Sanchez, you know, and he must have been really hurt last year. And because I was really down on it, I say this, you know, just he just went into a slump and, you know, he didn't look good at all catching or hitting. And this year he's actually come alive again and he's stroking the ball very well. And you know, the comparison to Murderers Row, it's not far-fetched, especially when, you know, you're talking about the way things are going with the home runs this year. It's insane. The ball's flying off the bat. You know, Todd Frazier hit a check swing home run the other night. You know, it's like, it's crazy. So any one of those guys, and they all got power, and the way the ball is flying out, you know, they're going to be unstoppable, you know, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, it's going to be an exciting year for you, you know.
And here's the interesting side of it. Here's the even more, you know, you're bringing Edwin's a lefty power guy into that stadium where, you know, we know our short porch and left and right is 314, you know. This is another guy, totally, you know, there's a legitimate potential for four guys on the Yankees to hit 40 home runs.
Yeah, especially this year.
Let that sink in for a second. Let that sink in for a second. I mean, when is the last time we've seen four guys on a team hit 40 home runs?
No, you're 100% right about that.
And even to the better, I don't think it's ever been done. Let me look it up. I don't think it's ever been done. The Yankees, they broke the home run record last year.
Right. And this year I don't want to say twice as much, but the numbers are going to be off the charts. Really, unless baseball does something to adjust what's going on, and they probably can, we just won't know about it and we'll see it. But I can't see where, you know, this lineup is going to get, you know, they're not going to hit that many home runs. I mean, forget about it, because you can't pitch around anybody. Sooner or later, you got to throw a strike, right?
Exactly.
That's what I'm figuring. So, you know, sooner or later, you know, it's crazy, man. It's phenomenal, and it's actually, I don't know how to say it. They're really set up to win it all this year, as long as they go out and get a pitcher. And my opinion on it is I would rather them go for Bumgarner than Scherzer. Scherzer gives you a little more years, but they probably have to, you know, Bumgarner's got a thing in his contract that he's got a no-trade clause. And, you know, he doesn't have to be traded. So any team that's willing to trade for him is going to have to offer him a contract to get him signed, him to come to them. You know, that's a thing that his agent put in his contract, so that when the time came, like we are in now, that he makes the selection, and also he gets to pick and choose where he wants to go. You know, so and he also gets a contract out of the deal. So yeah. I think it's a win-win for him, and I think it's a win-win for the Yankees if they go after him, because, you know, we've seen him in the postseason, and he's phenomenal, you know. And he's playing on a team now that really doesn't have much to play for. So I got to believe that there's something to that, too, that really, you know, you ain't going out there and really, you know, he knows what kind of pitcher he is. He don't have to prove nothing. So, you know, he's sitting on a team now. All right, well, whether I get a few or I don't, you know, or I win or I don't, you know, there's no stake in the game. Once he comes over to the Yankees and he's got an opportunity to win and then an opportunity to pitch in a big game, like, you know, there's something about him, because in the big games, he stepped up huge.
Always been huge.
Always. And you know what? some pitchers need that big game. And what big game do the Giants have now? None. You know what exactly. I mean? So you know, that's my opinion. Scherzer's a little thing as far as, you know, he's steady, solid pitcher. You got him for a couple years, you know, so there's a lot there. You know,
for me, it just depends on who, you know, a matter of who can we get for Frazier and Duhar, maybe. You know, it's at the cheapest price. You know, I don't want to hear anything about, you know, having to give up Gleyber Torres or, you know, anything like that. It's got to be at something that's just a reasonable.
Well, you're gonna have to give up something. You're gonna have to give up something.
Not him.
That's for sure.
Not Gleyber.
But I gotta tell you, anybody they give up, they're not gonna miss. And I'm not saying that they're not good because they're all good. But there's nobody going to miss there with the way they're situated. Because who's the only old guy on there is going to be playing. I can't even think of his name.
Gardner.
Gardner, yeah. He's once these guys all come back, he's going to be a spark plug off the bench.
Well, you exactly. Know, and Edwin brings some experience too.
Right. Yeah, understand. He brings some experience, but he's not going to be there for the future. You're not
giving.
What I'm saying is anybody they give away, they got plenty. So they're not losing any future. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, oh, okay, we give up Andujar or we give up the redhead kid. You know, they're not losing anything. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, oh, they're going to miss a beat. Don't get me wrong. They're good players. But then the Yankees, with what they have in this now, you're not going to feel it. You may miss the guy because you like him, but you're not really going to miss him on the field because they got, I don't know, everybody's young. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're 1,000%. You know, transitioning from my Yankees, you know, we'll talk about, you know, a team that's very healthy to a team that it just seems to be stuck in mediocrity.
Mediocre! Just say it. Spit it out. Mediocre. They can't get out of their own way. And it ain't the team because, you know what? They got a kid like Alonso. Coming up, he's full of fire. He's ready to go. He's hitting home runs. He's doing this. They got McNeil. He's batting over 300. I think he's got 335 as of today. You know, and they got Dom Smith, a first baseman. He's playing left field, but he can hit the ball, so they got to stick him there. Only the Mets would take a first baseman, put him in the outfield, because the organization is a little disrupted because they got first base playing left field and they got two first basemen that are top of that could be starting on any team, but now they got two of them. But we ain't got a left fielder, so we make the first baseman a left fielder. You know, not only that, I would go for that stuff, and I don't have no problem because I think Tom Smith is going to be an excellent left fielder. They can't get out of their own way. The starting pitching was bad. Now it's good. And now we can't get out of a game. I made a joke the other day with a friend of mine. I says, you know, we win. We're winning in the game. You know, we just don't win the game. We're winning during the game, but we ain't winning at the end. You know, and it's frustrating. You know, you got DeGrom frustrated again. You know, and you're sitting there and I'm watching. And I'm not talking about one-run leads, two-run leads. I'm talking about five-run leads. I'm talking about four-run leads. And by the end of the game, again last night, by the skin of their teeth, okay, they scored a ton of runs. And at the end of the game, if it wasn't for some guy deciding to go from second to home or first to home on a bloop, and gets thrown out at the plate. The Mets are in extra innings again. It's insane. It's insane, and they can't, and everybody wants to blame Callaway. Callaway. Well, he turns around and says, "Uh-oh, I got to go to the bullpen." You know what I'm saying? Where does he go? Even the closer they got now. Tell me how that Cano contract looks now.
Well, and you know,
He's batting two and change, and we got. You know, I'm so frustrated.
You could definitely hear it.
He went from 300 to 200, and we gotta say because of the closer, we gotta get the guy. He's the closer. Well, what happened? He put a Met uniform on, and all of a sudden he forgot how to pitch. You know what I'm saying?
A little bit to that speaks of, man, they are overusing the hell out of him. I mean, he's pitching every night. You can't expect the guy. Well, and this speaks to how, you know, bad that trade really was, because, you know, you take that $25 million that they're paying Cano, and you show it out to two different relievers, and there you go. You know, would you rather, you know, based on this season that they've gone through so far, would you rather have two guys at the back end of the bullpen, not closers, at the back end of the bullpen, or Cano? And Cano's been, like you said, awful.
Awful. Awful. Let me just say something to you. He's hitting better on the DL than he's hitting in the lineup. That's it. That's the end of the story.
And you know, it's a guy that they could have had for less money is DJ LeMahieu. Or you know, yeah. Even
we got our DJ LeMahieu. They can't even find him. He's somewhere in Florida. Lowry, I haven't seen him yet.
Well, didn't he get hurt training?
You know when I listen. You know when I seen him? When they signed him and he put the shirt on.
That was that.
I haven't seen him since.
Yeah, and it starts to make you think at some point of, you know, whether it's just bad luck, or it's just organizational negligence, or, you know, what it truly is. Because, you know, they do have talent.
They have a lot of talent. I'm telling you, they have a lot of talent.
Even this kid McNeil.
He's crazy. Where was he? Where was he? He was 28. When are they going to bring him up? When he's 40? They brought him up. He's 28 years old. Where's he been hitting? You can't tell me all these years.
The point of that.
He's in the minors, and he just figured it out.
The point of that, though, is go back to Daniel Murphy.
Yeah.
Same thing with Daniel Murphy. Daniel Murphy didn't come up until he was much older, and it was, he didn't have talent? No, it's just at a point it becomes organizational incompetence, and that's what has strained the Mets for years and years, and I'll use that to segue into our next thing. It's the same thing that plagues the Knicks.
Oh, forget it. Listen.
Organizational incompetence.
Listen. I don't know if it's organizational. With the Knicks, I don't know that it's organizational incompetence. And you may be right to a point. But here's what I'm going to tell you. All right. We were a month ago. All right. We're all hyped up. Listen, here's how it went. Let me go back a step. They tank. They're the worst team in the league. Now, normally, in any other year, you're the worst team in the league, you get the first pick. This year, the NBA changes the rules. So the Knicks don't get the first pick. Typical to happen to the Knicks. Okay. So we get the third pick. Okay, not so bad. So, you know, us being Knicks fans, we sit there and we go, oh, well, all right, we got the third pick. All right, well, that's good. And then, but you know what? Everybody was saying, oh, we got the third pick. You know why? Because all we heard all year was KD's coming to the Knicks. So when we didn't get the lottery, I said, all right, well, at least we're gonna have a team next year, and you know, we're gonna be good, and at least we'll be, you know, we'll be back in it. Well, the garden will be rocking, and I was so excited for next year. So I can't even tell you how excited I was to have the garden and the Knicks relevant again. And then I sent you a text, right? I said he ruptured his Achilles because he promised the Knicks he was coming. He should have never promised the Knicks he was coming. He'd still be playing basketball.
You may be right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like you can't get bad luck, no luck. I don't know what you call it. But as a Knicks fan, now I'm sitting here going, this team is going to sign him anyway to a long-term deal because, you know, I seen a picture he texted out from the whatever he did. I don't know, Face Chat, Snapchat, whatever. I don't know what they call that stuff. He's in a hospital bed saying he just had surgery, and you got Dolan knocking on the door. Hey, I'm gonna sign you, let me in.
Yeah, and you know, that kind of at first, you know, when the injury first happened, we talked, and I said, like, that, you know, I think he'll still be okay, you know, and it didn't resonate with me right then and there that he's going to be 32 when he comes back from this injury. And, you know, to be 32 and come back off an Achilles injury at his height, at 6 foot, I just don't see it happening. And you know, I did read something that Golden State is going to offer him the max. So that means if the Knicks want him, they have to offer him the 5-year max too.
Well, I hope they get him. I hope Golden State gets him, and I hope the Knicks rebuild.
Me too.
I gotta say that quickly.
Well, because otherwise, you know, and not because he's not talented, because you know we all know he's incredibly talented. But the issue lies where, you know, we then get stuck with a Kevin Durant that's 38 years old, 37 years old at the end of the deal.
Yeah, and then we'll be sitting here going, same old Knicks.
Same old to the point of we got – not only do we get the same old, you know, guy out there, but we did the thing that we always do year after year, the same thing we did with Amari Stoudemire, same thing we did with Carmelo, same thing we do with 90% of the guys that we bring in. They're old and past their prime.
And hurt.
Allen Houston.
And hurt. Listen, you know, Stoudemire, the doctors said he's no good. The Knicks signed him anyway.
Yeah.
Because they missed out on the LeBron deal, so they had to do something.
Well, but what do you think's going to happen in this situation? Well, this is what we've been, you know, I have to say, I hate to say I told you so, but I did tell you so. Not to trust that team until Kevin Durant was on the dotted line, and now even more so. Now we're like, we hope we don't sign him on that dotted line. Please don't sign him on that dotted line.
No, I want them to rebuild. Well, here's the first thing. All anyway, they sign him. We still got nothing next year, and we're still stuck in mediocrity. And then we got to hope and pray. Open play that he comes back. And well, don't get me wrong, he will come back. But what's he going to be? You know, what's he going to be? And I'm not sitting here telling you that he's not going to be a good player. He's not maybe not going to be a great player. But he's not going to be the Kevin Durant that we've seen. It's not happening. It's not. And you know what? Once you lose that step to the basket, and you say, okay, well, he's got a great shot. Yeah. Well, guess what? If I know you ain't going past me, then guess what I can do? I could step up on you and stop your game a little bit. And you know what? 75% of KD, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want to be stuck in the middle again. I want, you know, different, like I said to you, it would have been a lot different. Him coming in, maybe Kyrie. I really wasn't keen on Kyrie. You don't know how happy I was when I heard Kyrie going to the Nets. I was like, oh, thank God. I don't want him. But I would have took him if KD was coming with him. Or he was coming with KD. You know what I mean? Like, and now I just don't want. Look, we're already suffering. Let's build. Let's build. You know, the Sixers are doing it. They did it. You know, Boston did it. Boston made some great trades to get a lot of young guys in there. All right? And you know what? They're relative. I'd rather have that. You know, we go back to the homegrown, right? Homegrown.
Yeah, that's but I mean, look at how that worked out for Boston. I mean, look at their situation now. They're about to lose out on Kyrie, and now they're going to have to click a what do we do now button too.
Yeah, no, I agree, but I think their problem was Kyrie. I think when they traded what you call for Kyrie, you know, I think that was their mistake. Yeah, I think Isaiah Thomas was, it was like a karma thing. The guy came out and gave you his heart, and you turn around and throw him away. Here's what you get.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? You could be right. You could be right. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, we'll use that, you know, we'll talk kind of about, you know, the Lakers deal on top of all that. You know, the Lakers definitely put themselves in prime position to be the favorite for next year.
Listen, the Lakers put themselves back on the map. I have to say it. They put themselves back on the map. They made the deal they had to. They made the deal they were going to make during the season that everybody thought was going to be great. And I think it's a great deal. You know, I think it's a great deal because, well, yeah, you got LeBron, you know, and you got him together. You know, LeBron ain't going to be able to carry the team. But you know what? Maybe with this guy and they put another guy with him, you know, they got something there. I got to say, they're going to be good. You know, they weren't going to be good the way they were set up. So I think it's a great trade. I think it's phenomenal, and I think it's also good for the Pelicans.
Yeah, I think it works. It's very rare you see a trade, and we may look back and say, "Oh man, maybe it wasn't this good." But I really do believe it was a very, very even trade. I think the Lakers got, like you said, exactly what they want. They want to win right now, and the Pelicans are set up for the future.
You know what I'm happy about? He ain't What's on that? The table for the Knicks to take and give away everything they got.
Well, you know, and I do agree with you in the sense that the Knicks should just, you know, be patient. Their time will come. We will get someone, you know, whether it's through the draft or just don't give those ridiculous – don't give that Tim Hardaway contract.
No, don't get desperate, man. Don't. We're right. Listen, my hopes and dreams for next year are diminished. So now that we got that out of the way, all right, let's just build. Let's just stay the course, get young talent in, and then see what you can grab. But don't go out there and reach. I'm tired of the reaching and the grabbing and the being okay. Yeah, we made it to the second round of the playoffs. Woo-hoo! The second round. Listen, it's 50 years since the Knicks won a championship.
Yeah, well, and you know, the Knicks could be in prime position, too. Like, listen, if they play this smart and they sit back and they take the RJ with the third pick, they don't sign any free agents, they take those two max spots going into next year, they now have two picks going into this year's draft. You have to assume that their pick is going to be good. Whether they sign Durant or not, their pick is going to be good because they're not going to be good this year.
Right, exactly. Right.
Now you flip over to Dallas, and, you know, Dallas, I think they'll be okay. I don't think Dallas is going to be I think they'll be a lottery team. So, yeah, I do think then you have that pick on top of it. So now you're sitting into this, and, you know, next year, talking about Boston a little bit, we're kind of heading towards that as long as we don't sign those ridiculous contracts. If we don't sign the ridiculous contracts, we can build out of the draft, and then, like you're saying, bring in that guy. We're bringing that.
Bring in a guy or two guys at that point. You know what I'm saying? You see what you got. What these kids play.
If we've seen anything from the NBA in the last 2 years is that nothing stays the same for very long. You know, we were talking about the Toronto Raptors as the center of the NBA universe for all of about 36 hours, and then it became the Lakers again. And, you know, that Kawhi Leonard domino is still the fall. You know, who knows where that falls?
Right. Not only that is I see the NBA is starting to level out a little bit more now. You know, it's not going to be the LeBron, the one team, the two teams. It's going to spread. I see it spreading a little bit. Now you got the Sixers involved. Portland was around. You know, you got other teams. You know, the Clippers may be good. You know, you got other teams. Now, all of a sudden, the names are changing. So, you know, and not to write off Golden State because, you know, they're going to be right in it, too. But it's going to
have Curry.
But I think that the NBA is going to level off where you don't have to go out and have three guys that are great and this and that. You know, take your time. Don't make a problem, man. You stuck with a huge contract. You know, that's all I'm saying. I got my hopes up. I got excited. I thought next year was going to be season ticket year. And you know, there I go dreaming again. I guess that's what 50 years will do for you. You know what I mean?
We got to start taking up stock in the Nets.
No. I can't do that. No. Exactly. Let them have Kyrie. Let them play. You know, it's all good. You know, I can't believe
they're gonna let Russell go.
I can't believe that either. You know, he gave him his heart and soul this year, and he played well for them.
Played really well. He's an all-star.
You know, he's an all-star, and you know what else? He's solid, man. I can't see them getting rid of him.
I read if they signed Kyrie, it's all foregone conclusion that he's not coming back.
Yeah, well, you know, that would be a shame because, you know what? He's good. And whatever, I really, to be honest with you, I'm not vested in that team, so I don't really care. They can trade for anybody. They can take KD with a broken leg. I don't care. You know what I mean? So, you know, I look at it that way. You know, it's just, I'm tired of being frustrated, man. Being a Net fan, Nick fan, and a Met fan, and I'm tired. I want a couple wins, man. I can't even get past June with the Mets, you know. I was hoping for like the end of June, like the last 3 years, June, where we're like looking at other teams and trying to figure out what I'm doing for the rest of the baseball season, you know. Like I put a sign up, you know, gone fishing or something, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can always come over to the dark side.
Yeah, that ain't gonna work out. Forget that.
And win.
Listen. I understand, but that's it's like sacrilegious. It ain't happening. It just ain't happening. It ain't gonna be. You know, I grew up a Met fan. It's in my blood, and I will stay a Met fan. And maybe someday, they will turn it around for me. And they would stop torturing me. You know, there must be something to it. I must need a lot of therapy, you know?
Yeah, listen, I'll say your loyalty will pay off when they win. You know,
exactly. Listen, you know, I took you out there. When they're winning, how's that place rocking? There is no place in the baseball world that rocks more than that place when they're winning. Nowhere. You know, and we've been there. It's like that one golf shot that I hit every time, one time here and there, and it keeps me coming back, you know? That's what it's like.
You know, even more so to the point, you know, I've told you this numerous times. You know, we went to, you know, we've seen the Yankees clinch game six in 2009, win the World Series. You know, I told you that when Andy Chavez made that catch in 2007, and we were there for that as well. You know, Shea Stadium was louder than Yankee Stadium was at that point. You know, you know, you've heard people say, ah, the building shook. I actually felt my seat shake in that stadium.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And that's the way it is, you know. And so it's, you know, going on to Pop's Corner. I wanted to do like an edited version of Pop's Corner. I just wanted to say how blessed and how ecstatic I am be on this with you tonight on a Father's Day thing, you know. I can't believe how great it feels, and what an honor and what a privilege and honor and a blessing that I could do this with you. And, you know, we just got okayed this week to be on all the major podcast sites. And to me, it's like it don't sound like a lot, but it's a dream come true that I can actually do something with my son and something that I love, sports. You know, we talk about sports, and I talk to you about the Mets. They drive me crazy and up and down, and we talk and we go on. But to do something like this together with you, and to do it on, you know, it just happened to fall that we do it on a Sunday and it's on Father's Day. And I'm sitting here going, who's better than me? You know, it's, I can't tell you the feelings, you know, when we first started talking about doing this, how it was like, wow, you know, this could, yeah, we're doing something. We're doing it. We're enjoying. We're going along and we're laughing. We're goofing. We're crying. We're doing it all. You know, it for me, it's a blessing. And I feel so fulfilled and so content with what we're doing and how we're moving forward, you know. And I just wanted to bring a little bit of that into the talk tonight, you know, because it's very touching. It's beautiful. Yeah. You know, it's really, I can't, words don't even express it, how I feel about it and how over the years, the connection with the sports and the, you know, and the going places and doing things and, you know, and the relationship we've developed, you know, I'm blessed to have you as a son. And that's what I'll say. You know, it's great. I know that. Likewise. And I hear it, you know, we talk about it all the time. It's like, you know, but to do this and put this together, it's like, sometimes it's mind boggling to me because, you know, never in my wildest dreams did I ever think we could do something like this and to connect with other people outside, you know, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. And, you know, to add to a little, you know, I think what you said was perfect to a point, you know, just to add on it, just to, you know, to be able to share it with people and to share our relationship with, you know, the rest of the world out there is really what we're doing this for. You know, we want to, you know, we talk about sports regardless of whether we're doing it on the show or whether we're doing it talking, you know, guy to guy on a Tuesday afternoon. But, you know, to be able to share it with everyone is, it's beautiful.
It's truly amazing. It's truly amazing. Yeah, it's great.
Anyway, thank you for joining us on this Father's Day week. Hope you had a wonderful day. I'm Anthony coming to you live from Austin.
And I'm Pops. You guys have a wonderful week.